When I get back, do you want to go out for a drink?
Kit was the only man I knew who could almost die one minute and try to score a date the next.
I didn't stay amused for long. I put my head down for a moment, and when my eyes lifted again, they settled on the creased 3x5 photo pinned to my corkboard. Kit Harper had complicated my life once before. Never again.
No, Kit, that's not a good idea. 30 minutes.
I cut the video link and ran my fingers across Gregory Mallory's picture, taken during his rookie year on the Darling Cove Police Force. Wearing his dress uniform, and with that golden brown hair tucked neatly under his police cap, Greg still took my breath away.
Are you ever going to tell me why you ran off to Iraq with a camera instead of marrying that gorgeous hunk of man?
Lily stood in the doorway watching me. 5 years ago, I left Greg days before our wedding. And why was still a damn good question. From the short glimpses I'd caught of Greg in our small North Fork town these last 5 months, the man was as gorgeous as ever.
No,
I smiled at my curious assistant.
But if you ever find yourself at the crossroads of career or love, choose love.
Over bombs, guns, and death?
Yes.
I turned away from Greg's photo. Since the age of 10, that man had made my heart pound.
Were you able to locate Mobile One?
I asked, wrapping my head back around our emergency.
Lily shook her head gravely. I rubbed my temples and resisted the urge to pull at the long copper waves spilling all around me. I pushed away from my desk.
Okay. I'll go tell Michael the bad news.
My stomach churned, thinking of where the Mobile One team could be. Working the overnight news shift had usually been quiet, except lately, a dust-up of attacks had kept me and my mobile news units on our tired toes. With the title of executive producer came the responsibility for the entire crew in New York and overseas.
I approached the makeup room and peeked in to find the anchor getting made up.
Michael, there was more fighting in the Eastern Province. Mobile One's gone quiet and Kit and his guys are in the middle of it. I'm hoping for a package from him, but I don't think we can do anything live tonight.
Good thing my shitty 3 a.m. programming slot had low expectations.
Copy that, Faith.
Michael looked as tired as I felt.
At least you're getting out of here,
he added.
Don't worry. The London bureau chief position will open up soon.
I nodded but turned away, thinking soon wasn't fast enough. I already had one run-in with Greg last Christmas. Every day I had to walk around Darling Cove meant one more was imminent. What in the world would I say to him for longer than a 2-minute stare-fest?
Hey, I'm sorry I took off before our wedding. It was 5 years ago. We cool? I scoffed. Greg would never forgive me. Ever.
Walking back to my office, I let in the teeniest bit of hope that maybe, just maybe, someday he might.
Greg. I yawned and squinted to block out the rising sun. The last place in the world I wanted to be was standing on a cold porch taking a complaint from a half-dressed woman with too many curves for her own damn good. Are you even listening to me? She asked when I yawned again. Not even the skimpy red satin robe emphasizing the kind of body that made a man's mouth water could get me going this early. Do you have any idea what time it is, Miranda? I asked, leaning against her railing and tamping down the pain in my feet from standing out in the cold. She often called the police dispatch a few minutes before 6 a.m. when I ended my overnight shift and would be heading back to the precinct, and that I'd be sent to take one of her many complaints. That morning, she reported a knocking on her bedroom window. Walking her property, I found a cracked tree branch coated with icicles. The morning sun had melted a patch of ice and the branch dinged against the glass. Do you want to come in for a cup of coffee and take my report? Miranda unfolded her arms and the robe opened wider. The cold sure made her body come alive. For an older woman, she was smoking hot. I forced my eyes